Welcome to all of you to our church picnic Sunday. Sometimes it's a little bit iffy in terms of the weather. It would be nice to be outside. It's such a gorgeous time of year. However, for today, it seems this service, it's best to meet down here and seems to be our best option. But regardless of where we meet, you are all welcome. And it's good to see you here. Welcome here. Good to see Caitlin back. Yes, welcome back. Good to see you. Let's look briefly at announcements from this bulletin. There's quite a number. We're grateful Tenley Falk has responded more positively to some medications she has been receiving. She did pass on, though, whatever she had to other members of her household, so it's kind of going through the house the way most things do when children are around. Take note of announcements in regards to Murray and Carol Huntsberger are deeply saddened about the loss of a dear colleague and friend. Carl Campbell passed away May 19th. Him and his wife have given more than 30 years of their lives to biblical translation and have done incredible work, and they're very sad to see this man pass away. A number of announcements in regards to MCI for a variety of options there. Take note of the insert in your bulletin in regards to VBS coming up in July 3rd to the 7th. And there's a form there to fill out. We would gladly love to hear your responses. And Sarah would be open to discussing with you what options might be of your best interest. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. We have no baptism candidates this year, but we would like to have a number of items of sharing, if we could, for those who would like to share with us what God's Spirit has been doing in their lives or in the lives of other people. We also would like to have an affirmation for our lay ministers who have accepted another five-year term and have a communion service as well for next Sunday. Sunday School is doing a one-month giving project for Canadian Food Grains Bank. I think it's been a novel idea that they've had, and would like to support them in that. I'm going to set up a basket on the table for any of us adults who would like to participate and contribute to that. We have some generous donors who would like to match what we have been given. And if we have about $4,000 in there, I think that would give them a bit of a stretch. But if we had some funding to go along with Food Grains Bank, there is a lot of famine in the world today. And famine that has been increasing, and I don't think we have much of an idea of what that is like to actually experience or to anticipate what it's like not to have enough food. Let's be generous with any donations that you can have that will be matched by others within our congregation. I'm curious about the youth announcements on June 2nd, Friday. Who stole the borscht? Episode 2. And might be a fly on the wall for that one. I'd be curious about what's happening with the borscht. Are there other announcements that we need to highlight? Ray. Yeah.
Last Sunday, Seth came up and talked about his mom, Charlotte, and we were hoping for surgery soon, and that did happen on Friday. So that was very good. Since Friday, we haven't always been feeling terribly upbeat, since when you fix something, it has to get worse before it gets better, usually. And her pain is more. That's I guess what we're trying to do with the surgery is decrease the pain, but it's quite a bit more. But thank you very much, everybody, for all your prayers and for the many ways you've shown Charlotte support during this week. If you want to hear more details about it, talk to me later. I'll fill you in.
Thank you, Ray. Are there other announcements? Yes, Nettie.
I'd just like to highlight one of the announcements in the bulletin. School of the Kingdom is having Met by Love. It's the final School of the Kingdom event. It's going to be a worship testimony night So that's happening this Thursday at 7. It's at Gospel Mission Church, and you're all welcome to attend. There's more information in your bulletin as well as on the Facebook page. And we'd love to see you there.
Others? For a call to worship, I found that this is a text that repeats itself throughout the Old Testament scriptures, a text that puts forth God's character in rather succinct and profound form. It's a text that's found in Exodus 34, Nehemiah 9, Psalm 86, Psalm 145, Psalm 103, Joel chapter 2, and Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, which we read about last Sunday. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. That is incredible good news. Taste and see that the Lord is good can be an experience for each one of us. Suppose it was just the opposite. Our Lord is unmerciful and vindictive, vengeful and abounding in incessant indifference. If that were true, where would we go? With our guilt, our remorse, our sins, our waywardness? What would the disciple Peter have done with his betrayal? And what options of response would our Lord have had toward Peter? Teshuvah is the Jewish tradition, in the Jewish tradition, means deliverance, changing one's ways, a new beginning. A Jewish tradition tells us that Teshuvah was created even before the creation, together with the Torah, the name of the Messiah, and other mysteries. Supposedly, in their tradition, it says there is no person, no time or place where Teshuvah is not possible. Thanks be to God. Let's bow to pray. Thanks be to you, O God, that your mercy, your love, and your faithfulness can be counted on for all eternity. Amen. Kirsten, would you lead us, please?
Good morning. So I have some people up here that you probably don't recognize up here with me. So these are all people from CMU, actually. That was not done on purpose, but happened to be that way. So right here is Lacey Siemens. She's a music student with me at CMU. Also Naomi Clausen. And then my boyfriend over there is Matthias Workington. And then you all know Riley, but that's Riley Dick, just in case you don't know. We're going to start with Lord, I Need You. And then we're going to go into a newer song called Jesus Messiah. If you don't know it, then feel free to just listen. If you do know, please sing along.
Come, I Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all I hope is in you, all our hope is in you, all the glory to you, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Get the ushers to take this morning's offering. And
okay.
The sun cannot compare to
Thank you for that song. Thank you. For our prayer time, let's begin with the song, Lord, Listen to Your Children Praying. We'll sing it through twice. Please join me. Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your Spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us power, send us grace. Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your Spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us power, send us grace. Let us pray. Lord, you delight in the prayers of your children. And we come with who we are, with our ideas, our suggestions, our many thoughts, our doubts, our fears, our wonderings. And we bring them before you. In these following moments of silence, direct us by your Holy Spirit to bring what is on our heart to your throne of grace. This morning we intercede on behalf of Murray and Carol Hansberger, who have lost a valued friend and colleague. May Carl's example of faith and perseverance inspire others to continue this challenging work of translating your word into languages which have not heard it before. Surround his children and grandchildren with your love and your presence, so they will know themselves not to be alone, but continually upheld by your providential care. For those whose lives have been riddled with violence and instability, with famine and unrest. For those who are forced to hide and even to flee their land, Lord, have mercy. Your provisions are enough for all. And we pray that as people of your creative love, we would be able to distribute to those who have need, be able to put down weapons, to starve the desire for power, control, and greed. May your kingdom come on earth. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Shania has prepared a children's story for all the children. We invite them to come to the front and hear what she has prepared. Please come.
Hello. Morning, guys. How are you? Yeah. Okay, so I have three bags here. And if I told you, do you trust me that there is a loony in here? Yeah? You think there's a loony in here? Well, let's see what's in here. Well, it's a stone. So it's not a loony. Sorry. What about this one? Do you think there's a loony in this one? No? You do? There's a Santa doll in here. That's not a loony. Sorry. Okay, I have one more. Do you trust that there's a loony in this one?
Yes.
Yes? You're positive. Yes. Yeah? Does it sound like one?
Yeah.
Maybe? Oh, you're right. Look at that. You guys are really smart. Okay, so there's this guy in the Bible. His name is Peter. And Jesus and Peter got to walk on water. Do you guys remember learning about Peter in DVBS last year? And you got to walk on the magic mud?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. So Jesus told him, "Trust me, Peter, you will walk on water." Well, Peter was like, "That's ridiculous. I'm never going to walk on water." And he was scared. He was very, very, very scared. And when he didn't trust Jesus, that's how he fell. And that's how he started to sink into the water. So if you just trust Jesus, everything will go okay. Jesus is super amazing. You guys can go back to your seats.
The next songs we will sing, they should be in order on your song sheet, but they will be How Deep the Father's Love, then The Steadfast Love of the Lord, and then the hymn, The Love of God. You can feel free to stand or sit or kneel or however you feel most comfortable.
Beyond all measure, that He would
Thank you so much, worship team. Thanks so much for those song selections. I think on a morning like this, I have a lot of excitement in my heart. I have difficult things that are happening, and I'm confronted with my own sin. So to hear a line like that the Father would give his son to make a wretch like me his treasure. And the love of the Father, that's awesome. Thanks so much for serving us. So, Katrina has picked a very precious passage for us that I'm excited we get to sit in this morning. Thanks for picking that. We're going to be reading from John 18, verses 15 to 18, and then 25 to 27, and then we'll go to John 21. So starting at John 18, verses 15 to 18. Simon Peter was following Jesus, and so was another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest, and entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest. But Peter was standing at the door outside. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the doorkeeper, and brought Peter in. Then the slave girl, who kept the door, said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Then the slave, now the slaves and the officers were standing there, having made a charcoal fire, for it was cold, and they were warming themselves. And Peter was also with them, standing and warming himself. And then a few verses over, John 18, 25 to 27. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself, and they said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, being a relative of the one whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you with him in the garden?" Peter then denied it again, and immediately a rooster crowed. And then John 21, verses 1 through 19. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself in this way. Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael, and of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We will also come with you." And they went out and got into a boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet his disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Children, you do not have any fish, do you?" And they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch." So they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got to the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid, and fish placed on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to ask the question, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep. Truly, 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 I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." Now this he said, signifying by which kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." We're excited for your words this morning. And Lord, would you open our eyes to behold marvelous things continually this morning from what you want to speak to us. Thanks, Katrina.
Thank you, Seth. I'm going to ask Katrina to come and join me here, please. Yeah. Let's have a short word of prayer before we begin. Lord, we want to thank you for your words of Scripture, for your disciples, for your journey of faith with them. Thank you also for your journey of faith with Katrina. Thank you for her willingness to take up this assignment to come and speak this morning. We ask that you would give her the words to speak, that you would open our ears to hear what it is you have to see, to teach us, and give her joy in her speaking. Thank you for her willingness. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm also going to pray because we can't pray enough. One more time. Lord, thank you for this day that you have made, and thank you for bringing all of us together today. Lord, we praise you for the way you love us and delight in us, even when we feel that we have little to offer you. You are unbelievably good. Bless the words of my mouth as I speak this morning. Amen. So this morning, I'm going to be speaking on a topic, or rather, a person, that shows that Jesus loves and delights in his children in all their raw humanity, filled with shortcomings and mistakes and weaknesses. I have been intrigued with the man who is called Simon in John 1, verse 42, for quite some time now, whom we may better know as the disciple Peter. It all began for me about 4 years ago when I was going through an uncertain time, and again, the Holy Spirit directed me to Peter. In particular, his honestly human faith in the Lord and the Lord's willingness to be with him and love him and use him. My interest in the biblical importance of Peter was rekindled after I attended the One Thing conference this past Christmas in Kansas City. A speaker unpacked the idea of Peter's weak but genuine love for Jesus, and my heart leapt at the mention of Peter and the relatable Christian state of loving the Lord with a deep and genuine love, even if it is weak, humanly love. Since Christmas, it feels as though everything I see and everyone I interact with somehow traces back to Peter. And it has become clear to me that the Holy Spirit is working to reveal things to both myself and those around me through this particular story and this particular man. And here we are. So when Jesus first sees Peter, first meets Peter, he looks at him and calls him by his common name, which is Simon, but quickly tells his new disciple that he will be called Peter, which means rock. A name change is always significant in Scripture, and we see it again and again throughout the biblical narrative. But I can't help but think that Peter was perhaps a little stunned. I mean, when I meet a person, I don't expect them to call me by a name that is nowhere close to my own, let alone accept the weighty significance that comes along with a name change given, in Peter's case, by Jesus himself. Putting myself in his shoes, it seems to be a strange way to be greeted by someone. But simultaneously, we begin to see what Jesus sees in Peter, and in turn, what he sees in each of us. This important interaction that changed the entire course of Peter's life echoes that of 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, which reads, "For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." In John 1, Jesus only meets Simon, but already he sees the man that he is going to become and the work that the Lord is going to do in him and through him. God sees who we are now as well as who we are becoming. He sees Peter in his full humanity and the complicated, messy, short-sighted person that he is, full knowing what lies ahead, and says, "You are a rock and I want you." And I think that's exactly why I am so moved by who Peter is. As we see him grow and develop throughout the Gospels and into the book of Acts, I relate with how human he is and how the Lord uses him in the midst of it all. When I see Peter's reactions to situations, I often feel as though I'm looking at myself, and sometimes it's sobering. One of my favorite stories of Peter in his raw and real humanity is in Matthew 14, when he meets with Jesus on the water. I love Peter's heart in this passage. I relate to Peter's desire. He says, "God, I want to walk to you on this water. Show me your power." And Jesus says, "Sure, come on down." So Peter does it. I don't know what is going on in his head, but I just love it. He steps over the side of the boat to stand on that water because Jesus said, "Come." He is bold. Peter is bold here, and he begins to walk to Jesus. But this is where things get dicey, and perhaps I relate most of all. Peter sees the strong winds and the crashing waves and focuses on the unfamiliar place he's walking rather than on the familiar one he's walking to. Isn't this us? We want to step out. We want to experience God's immeasurable power and presence in our lives, but the wind and the waves of this life are distracting and at times terrifying. So what do? Do we give up on our deep desire to pursue God because our faith isn't as strong as we would like it to be, our doubt overpowering, and at times our fear crippling? No, friends, quite the opposite. We push forward in our desire to know God, see God, hear God, and love God despite our human weakness, because of our human weakness. And this desire, this weak human desire, moves God's heart. We may look and see our lives and our actions as small and weak and mundane, but Jesus sees them through the lens of the riches of glory. He sees what we don't see. It's easy to look at Peter's short-lived walk on the water as a bit of an embarrassment. Couldn't he have had more faith? Why did he doubt Jesus so quickly? I think I am too quick to point out Peter's shortcomings to make myself feel better about my own flaws in a way. But why don't I admire his bold act of faith, though perhaps weak, for what it is? Genuine love, genuine faith, weak, but genuine. I am beginning to truly see the message that Peter's story encompasses. We as humans may see our limited efforts and minuscule achievements, but the Lord sees our actions, our prayers, our love, us, through the lens of the riches of glory, and he delights in us. As the church, as humans, we often tend to look at Peter as the disciple not to be, the traitor, because of his threefold denial of Jesus. And admittedly, this is a difficult part of the story to swallow. I think in part we find the act of denial painful because in a way we can see ourselves doing it too. as much as we hope and we pray that we would not. It hits home because, again, Peter emphasizes the weak but genuine love of the human spirit for the Lord. Peter's heart has always been in the right place, but his fallen human nature gets in the way. And I believe Peter is a key part of the biblical narrative to emphasize exactly this. If we turn in John to chapter 13, we see how the whole scenario unfolds, the situation before his denial. This is a story the church is more than familiar with, one we hear again and again every Easter. But do we really notice the details of it? Or have we glazed over it out of familiarity and tradition? If that is the case, I pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal new and enlightening parts of the story, especially the role of Peter to us today. So as Jesus and the disciples sit around the table for what Jesus knows to be their last supper, some serious conversation gets started. First, Jesus informs the disciples that one of them will betray him. After Judas leaves the meal, Jesus carries on revealing truths about the events to come, saying that soon the Son of Man will enter into his glory. But the disciples fail to understand. He commands them to love each other as he has loved them, saying that this love will prove that they are followers of Jesus. Peter, curious and eager to follow, asks the Lord where he will be going. Jesus responds, I imagine, with sweet kindness in his voice and a saddened smile on his face, and says, you can't go with me now, but you will follow me later. Peter blurts, young, naive, I'm ready to die for you. But Jesus shakes his head and informs Peter of his soon approaching denial. When we read this passage, what are our thoughts? I used to always think Peter to be a bit silly, maybe not very aware. How could he not know how weak his love for Jesus was? But I wonder, is that really the case? Sure, Peter may have been naive and didn't see Jesus' death from the eternal perspective. But just as he was when he jumped out of the boat to walk on the water, Peter is bold, believing that he loves the Lord so deeply that he would be willing to die for him. And as followers, this is our hope, our greatest goal, to be willing to die for Jesus if we were put in that situation. And I think that it can be easy to believe that our love is strong enough to follow through on that if we had to. But Peter demonstrates here how weak our love really is for the Lord, no matter how strong we believe it to be. God deserves infinitely more than we could possibly give him. But the good news is that this is not at all a reason to feel shame, but rather yet another opportunity to celebrate the vast love of our Savior and the fact that he is moved so deeply by even our weak but heartfelt declarations of love for him. He sees our hearts and our love through the glorious work that he has done on the cross, making even our weak love for our Lord strong in the kingdom. We've heard the story of Peter's denial countless times, and we've heard it again this morning. But I am sure the days between the denial of Jesus, the one whom Peter loved, and the resurrection were some of the most difficult days of Peter's life. Those 3 days surely included sickly shame for the cowardice that overtook him shortly after he had vowed to die with Christ. Those days must have been filled with attacks from the enemy, self-loathing, mourning, and pain. And it amazes me that Peter was able to endure that, able to face himself after that gut-wrenching denial. And then Jesus rises from the dead, and I always just kind of left Peter there. Sure, he does some things later in the New Testament, but that denial, it happened. And how does one move forward after something like that? Never does an event, especially one as monumental as this, leave a person unaffected. I appreciate that Jesus acknowledges Peter's need for closure and repentance, and later gives Peter the opportunity to do that in a personal way with Jesus, the one he had betrayed in John 21. Now, honestly, I heard John 21 for the first time this Christmas at One Thing, the One Thing conference. I had no idea that this part of the story existed, and yet it is so vital to Peter's story. Scholars assert that John 21 was added to the book of John at a later date. And so because of this, I initially questioned if I should even bring it up in this sermon. But you heard it. How could I not? I have come to the conclusion through prayer and time with the Holy Spirit that just because John 21 was added at a later date does not negate its importance in the canon, but perhaps even emphasizes it. Someone thought it was important for believers years from now and now today to hear these words and see Peter's redemption. And indeed, it gives much to chew on following Peter's denial of Jesus and the truth of his weak love for the Lord. In John 21, Peter, along with a few other disciples, decide to go fishing one night. At dawn, these disciples see a man standing on the shore. "Have you caught any fish?" he yells from the beach. And like other times in the New Testament, Jesus tells them to cast the net on the other side of the boat after they inform him that they haven't yet caught any. And of course, they can hardly haul the net up because it is so full of fish after the man's, Jesus's, direction. 153 fish, to be exact. Perhaps it was the sound of his voice, or the familiar instruction that he gave, or the fact that suddenly they had 153 fish in their net, but suddenly it hits the disciples that this is the Lord. And when Peter hears this, he immediately jumps over the side of the boat to swim to him. The excitement here is tangible. Jesus has risen, and this is only the third time that he has appeared to his disciples after the resurrection. Peter leaps over the edge of the boat, curiously reminiscent of his climbing over the edge to walk on the water to Jesus. And I can't help but wonder what Peter was feeling. Did he feel the need to make things right with Jesus after his heartbreaking denial? Explain to him and even apologize for his human weakness? But Jesus knows exactly what is on Peter's mind and has a way of turning that mistake of the past around in a way that Peter could have never imagined, I'm sure. Jesus proceeds to cook them breakfast, an image of Jesus that is so homey and so intimate, exemplifying that he cares about all of our human needs, even breakfast, the most important meal of the day. After breakfast, Peter and Jesus talk. This talk changes Peter, as talks with Jesus tend to do. Three times Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?" And three times Peter responds, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." The third time Jesus asks Peter if he loves him, Peter is deeply hurt in a way that must have mirrored Jesus' deep pain when Peter denied him three times. The third time, Peter responds desperate, saying, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." The text does not say it here, but I think that Jesus smiles widely, lovingly at these words. The three declarations of Peter's love for Jesus reconcile the pain of the three denials. Here, Jesus gives Peter the opportunity to express his deep love for Jesus, though weak. It is worthy to note that this interaction did not take place for Jesus' sake. He knew that Peter loved him genuinely, deeply, weakly, and did not need Peter to prove it to him. Rather, this interaction took place for Peter. Jesus knew that Peter needed to exfoliate the shame and regret that had seeped deep down into his skin. He needed to be reminded that even though his love for the Lord was weak and human, Jesus delighted in it fully. And because of his death on the cross, he saw Peter's mistakes and weakness through the blood of Jesus. Peter offered his love in human weakness, and the blood of Jesus made his offering acceptable and unbelievably valuable. This declaration of love acts as Peter's commission. Because of his love for Jesus, he is commissioned to feed Jesus' sheep, to tend the lambs. Love always comes with responsibility. Jesus knew that Peter's commitment to him and the building of the church would lead to Peter's death, which happened to also be crucifixion. Peter's statement at the Last Supper comes to fruition. He dies willingly for the Lord. It's said that Peter, however, asked to be crucified upside down because he did not feel that he was worthy to die the same death as his Savior. At the end of their discussion, Jesus says to Peter, "Follow me." Peter does just as he did when he met Jesus and Jesus first called him Peter the Rock. Jesus saw then how Peter was going to change and grow throughout his life, the faith, the weak but genuine love, and the mistakes that would mold him. Jesus knew, Jesus sees, and Jesus delights in his children as he delighted in Peter throughout the entirety of the journey. Though our love for the Lord may seem weak and our lives mundane, we are his treasure and he delights in us. Let us see that our weak love for Jesus can move mountains in the kingdom, and that with us, the Lord is well pleased. Amen. please rise for the benediction. Ephesians 3, verse 16 to 21. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I believe someone has announcements.
Thank you so much, Katrina, for your words, and thank you for the music. I can imagine Peter. Oh, yes. Thank you. I can imagine Peter singing along with the song, I am no longer a child of fear or a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Thank you. Just some announcements about noon. Did you want to mention something, Jerry?
All right. Just wanted to make a couple of quick announcements about the food and how this is going to work. We're going to open the white door by the kitchen, and there'll be coffee and tea there, and you can grab some of that either as you're getting your food or after. We're going to set out the salads and desserts on the side. But before that, since we're going to be eating in here, if you would prefer to eat around a table, get one of the people that you think is strong, or if you think yourself is strong, set one of those up and move your chairs around a little bit. And we've got a few burgers and hot dogs that are ready already, but we might have to be a little bit patient. We'll see how that goes. Thank you so much. Okay.
Thank you, Jerry, for looking after that for us. Thank you for your help with that. Thanks, Jesse, for helping to set up our sound system here. And before we go, why don't we sing a song of grace and as our prayer for the meal. God is great and God is good. God is great and God is good. Let us thank him for our food. By his hands we all are fed. Thank you, Lord, for daily bread. Thank you, Lord, for daily bread. Oh.